Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 7. I am just about sure that every service we've had in this building, pastor has said something about them not having a clock. And I don't know what I think about them having it up before I preached. Amen. I don't know if God's trying to tell me something or if the media team is trying to tell me something. Amen. But anyway, as pastor would say, that's all the comedy. That's as good as it gets. Amen. I want to tell you, if you came tonight and you just came to go through the motions of a midweek service, to get out, get something to eat, and get in bed, and that's exactly what you'll get. Amen. But if you came expecting something from the Lord, if you came with a need from the Lord, if you came with a request or a petition, amen. If you'll do what the song said, I'm going to stay right here until I get a breakthrough. I'm going to stay right here until something changes. You'll get what you came for. Amen. There's a saying in the world, you get what you pay for. In the church, you get what you come for. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I give honor to our pastor, my father, and I'm thankful for his confidence in me. Amen. To care for this great flock in his absence. Amen. Esther chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Everybody say the half of the kingdom. Amen. It shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bond men and bond women, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Amen. If it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. I want to preach for the next few moments in position to petition. Amen. Why don't you lift your hands all over the house? Let's pray that the Holy Ghost would move in a mighty way. God, I thank you for your strength and your help, Lord. I thank you for your anointing, God. Thank you for everybody that's gathered into this house. Thank you for the beauty of this temple, God. I pray that your presence would be near to us, Lord, that it would overshadow us tonight, God, that you would speak to your people. Anoint us, help us. Don't let us leave the same way that we came, God. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Come on, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll allow me, I'm very aware of the time. They do have a clock up tonight. Amen. But I feel to build a foundation, we're going to go through quite a bit of scripture. We'll just call this midweek Bible study. Until we change gears. Amen. Esther, the book of Esther, the narrative and story thereof begins in the reign of the king Ahasuerus. And he reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. This king Ahasuerus takes and he makes a feast for 6 months straight, where he shows all of his princes and the rulers of his provinces the glory of his kingdom. And then at the close of the 6th month in the palace at Shushan, the king makes a feast for 7 days for every inhabitant of the city of Shushan, where the palace was. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded his chamberlains that dwelt in his presence to bring a woman by the name of Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. We know the story. The queen Vashti refused the commandment of the king by the chamberlains, and he was exceeding wroth. And so he takes counsel with the seven wise men, the princes of Media and Persia that dwelt in his presence, and looked him face to face of what to do. And their proposal was to put her away from being the queen and to find someone better than she was. Amen. And it pleased the king. So the Bible says in Esther chapter 2, verse 3, "And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of Hegai, the king's chamberlain." Everybody say the custody. "Under the custody of the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so." And so the chamberlains go out, and these posts, you could say, go out throughout the provinces, and they take in all the fair young ladies, and they appoint them to the custody of, the scripture would later tell us his name is Hegai, the king's chamberlain. This was a man that was over the house of the women. And in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. Now, just for a side note, everybody says that she was his niece. She was actually his first cousin. Okay, your uncle's daughter is your cousin. "For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and her mother were dead, took for his own daughter." So Mordecai, who was presumably much older than Hadassah, which we know as Esther, takes this young lady as his own daughter. And so we can only surmise that he raised her as a father. He took her as a daughter. So he raised her as a father would. And now you have to understand that these are Jewish people in Babylonian captivity. But they are still Jewish people. And so this man, Mordecai, is raising a Jewess by the name of Hadassah, and he is raising her in a foreign country, in a place of captivity. But we know from later in the scripture, and we'll get there as we progress, we know that Mordecai's convictions of his blood and history and his God and his commandments ran deep, for he refused to bow when everybody else would bow. It sounds kind of like the three Hebrew men that refused to bow to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And so no doubt this man that had great and strong convictions taught these convictions to this woman, Esther. Amen. And so if I can say it like this before we go any further, though she were in the world, she was taught not to be of the world. Amen. Though she were in Babylonian captivity, she was taught, "You are the seed of Abraham." Amen. Before we go any further, just don't ever forget, church, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. Amen. You're a citizen of the United States, but you're also a citizen of heaven. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Don't forget, you were made a child of God, of the seed of Abraham. You've been grafted in. And I don't care what the world is doing, you don't have to conform to the world. Man. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. Okay, so the story of Esther, and I need you to understand this as we go forward, it's running parallels, okay? Esther, known as Hadassah, as a Jewish name, as the daughter of Mordecai. She is a literal woman being raised by a literal man. She's a literal Jewish female being raised by a literal Jewish man and serving a very true and alive Jewish God in Babylonian captivity. Okay? But also, as the story progresses, she is a type of the bride of Christ. And the king is none other than symbolic of God himself. Amen. But the first thing we have to understand is that in her real life, literal life serving the God of Israel, she has a man by the name of Mordecai that has veto power in her life. Amen. She has a man by the name of Mordecai that is her spiritual leader, not just her father, but he is her spiritual leader, and she is submitted in spiritual things and in matters of life to this man by the name of Mordecai. As a child of God, as a child of Abraham, she is submitted to the man Mordecai, and as the bride of Christ, she is submitted to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. So as these stories run parallel, and one is a literal service to the God of Israel, and the other is a symbolic of the bride of Christ, she still, in every facet, answers to a man of God. God help me right now. She answers to an individual who knows the commandments and the heart of the king, whether that king is the king of Israel, Jehovah, I am, or whether it's the king of Babylon, symbolic of God. She answers to a man that knows the emotions and the heart of the king. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there is a positioning to being able to make a petition of the king of a province or a nation. And the fact of the matter is, the way she found favor to get into that position is that she listened to the instruction of a man who could find the heart of the king. Man, we've about half got it tonight. The fact of the matter is this: you must have a man of God in your life. I don't care how far up in the kingdom you go, you still need to have a man of God in your life that can find the affection and the emotion of the king. The most dangerous place you can be is a lone wolf. For the Bible says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Amen. There is safety in submitting yourself to godly counsel. Amen. I don't care how smart you are, you don't have it all figured out. And I don't care how connected you are, you still need a voice in your life of instruction and direct. It's always easier to see the truth of a situation from outside of the situation. And so you need a man of God that can find the mind of God for your situation. Amen. Amen. And the maiden pleased him, that's Haggai, the custody of Haggai, the keeper, the women. And she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification with such things as belonged to her and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred. Why? For Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Amen. Mordecai gave her a command before she ever entered into that royal court. And he said, you don't tell them who you are or who your people are. And she obeyed the command of Mordecai. Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women, then thus came every maiden unto the king. Now listen to this. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. So when the days of purification were accomplished, anything that a lady wanted, anything that the potential bride desired, was given to her to go from the house of the women to the king's house. Anything she wanted, she could have. But when it came time for Esther to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. You see, you have to understand, and maybe I'm coming against some, Lord help us, some pride maybe. Haggai knows the king better than you do. Amen. Well, I didn't figure anybody's going to run the aisles right then. Haggai has been in dealings with the king for quite a while. And these women have only known Haggai and of the king. They've not even known the king. They've known of the king for 12 months. And so when it comes time for the woman who truly desires to be the bride to go before the king, she asked the man that knows the king, what should I take with me? He said, this is what you need to take. There is a principle here that we don't need to overlook, and the principle is this. There are things that God likes and don't like. And usually, if not always, there is a man of God who's tapped in, and he knows the things that God likes and doesn't like. And so you would actually do yourself a favor to inquire to the man who knows the king and whose custody you've been put under. What does the king like? I'm just trying to be pleasing to the king. What does the king like? I've never met the king, but I hear you've been in his presence for a while. What does the king like? Because whatever the king likes, that's what I want to have when I go before the king. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. The way. There is one way to come to God. One way to God. And so you do yourself a favor not to try to come to God the way you would like to or the way you think the Bible says to, but you find you a man of God that's preaching the truth of God's word and say, how do I make it into the inner court? She requires nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of women, appointed. Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Amen. The Bible says again in verse 20 of Esther chapter 2, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. This woman has ascended all the way to the royal estate of the queen. She is the bride of the king. And yet still, she's willing to take command from a man of God. God, I feel this in the Holy Ghost, and I didn't figure that it was going to be aisle running and foot stomping. But you know what? We made D6 dozer this thing straight on through before it's over with. Is that all right? Amen. It does not matter how high you go in the kingdom, not in the kingdom of God, nor in the kingdoms of this world. It does not matter how much money you have. It does not matter your position or your prestige. You need to be submitted to a man of God. You need to be willing to take command and charge from the man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We know from the story that Mordecai sat in the gate. Two of the king's chamberlains were attempting to assassinate him. Mordecai overhears the plot, brings it to Esther. Esther certifies the king thereof in Mordecai's name. When inquisition was made, it was found to be true, and both the chamberlains were hanged on a tree. And so now Mordecai also has favor with the king. It just has not been revealed as of yet. After these things, we're moving quickly, I promise. After these things, the king promotes a man by the name of Haman. Amen. Haman is an evil man, an Agagite. That doesn't sound familiar. Think back to when Samuel commanded Saul by the word of the Lord to kill all of the Amalekites. And Saul brings back all the cattle and the king, Agag. And now we have Haman, the Agagite. Oh, God help us. The only reason this man was alive to persecute the people of God is because of a king who refused to take commandment from a man of God. The truth of the matter is that it is not, just hear me, it is not control. We have no desire to control you. I don't have time to control you. Pastor doesn't have time or mental capacity to try to control you. That's not what it is. We're not preaching this so that you would be submitted so that we could be on some kind of power trip. The fact of the matter is when you don't obey the man of God and the voice of God, you create enemies. They may not kill you, but they'll come after your children. Oh, God, help us. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost to just stop right here and drive this home. Mordecai and Esther would have never faced this problem if Saul, the king, would have been able to take instruction from a man of God that said, here's the word of the Lord. You don't have to understand it. I'm sure Saul didn't understand it. He said, well, Samuel said, what meaneth the sound of the bleating of the sheep that I hear in my ears? Saul said, well, we brought back the best of the cattle for sacrifice. I'm just doing this to give more to God. Which is where we get the famous statement from, where he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You serve yourself better to be obedient and to listen to the word of God than to try to bring a sacrifice of praise in disobedience. And so we have the downline of disobedience in the life of Esther and Mordecai, and he's coming through, and everybody bows, and everybody makes obeisance and gives reverence to Haman, but Mordecai refuses. Why? Because I only bow to my God. Amen. I'm not bowing to you. I bow to my God. And so Haman hates Mordecai. But Haman knows who Mordecai is. He's a Jew, and there's a bunch of these people in this kingdom. And the Bible says, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. Amen. Because, if I can say it like this, the devil never wants to destroy just you. Amen. And if I can, just leave this with you, a lot of times the stands you make are what stirs up the devil worse than anything. Can I preach to the church for just a moment? Thank you for worshiping. That's wonderful. But you know, really, the devil's not worried about your worship. That don't bother him. If he knows as soon as you walk out the door, he'll have you right back in the same trap, shout on. He don't care. He don't care if you got fancy footwork. If he knows you'll go right back to the same website as soon as you walk out of the church, he don't give a rip. It's not your sacrifice that stirs up the enemy. It's your obedience. I feel the Holy Ghost coming on right now. In the name of Jesus. If you really want to stir up the kingdom of hell, don't worry so much about your shout during the service. Worry about your obedience after the service. When you get back in the car and you say, no, I'm not listening to that music anymore. When you get back on the phone and no, I'm not going to that website anymore. When you get back on the job and no, I'm not associating with that mess anymore. That stirs the devil up because he knows to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. And so Haman, he doesn't want to just destroy Mordecai. He wants to destroy all the Jews. And so he spins this pretty little tale to the king Ahasuerus. He says, there's these people in your land, and they don't obey the laws of Babylon, and they don't make obeisance to the king. They don't serve you. They're rebels and revolters, and it would do you good to get rid of all of them. And the king just is, I guess, as innocent as could be. Well, yeah, I'm just trying to protect this kingdom here. So yeah, if they're a threat to the kingdom, go ahead and destroy them. And so they make a decree that all the Jews would be killed. Amen. And the devil doesn't just make plans. The devil's willing to invest in his plans. Haman said, I'll pay to cover the cost for the destruction of these people. Amen. And so a copy of the writing of the decree was given at Shushan to destroy them. The Bible says that Haman and King Ahasuerus sat down to drink, but the city was perplexed. They were confused. What is going on? Why do they want to kill these people? And so Mordecai, we know the story. Mordecai, he rents his clothes and he's covered in ashes and he's mourning. He's at the king's gate, and so Esther sends a chamberlain to Mordecai to figure out what's going on. And so he gives the chamberlain, Mordecai gives the chamberlain a writing, copy of the writing that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her. Listen to this. And to charge her. Everybody say charge her. To charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him. And to make request before him for her people. Amen. Esther is the queen. But Mordecai is still in charge. Amen. Well, I thought at least somebody would clap their hands tonight. Amen. Amen. God's going to help us by the end of this. The Lord dealt with me today. And we're going to talk about, praise the Lord, they ain't even got my title up there. We're talking about being in position to petition. Amen. Getting at the right place to where you can petition for things that you have need of. Amen. So Hatak comes and he tells Esther the words of Mordecai. Esther speaks to Hatak, gave him commandment to Mordecai. She said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to who the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. It's been 30 days since she's been called into the inner court. And they told Mordecai her words. Mordecai commands to answer Esther. Imagine the chamberlain. The queen can command and his head is cut off. Okay? Imagine the chamberlain when Mordecai commands him to answer the queen. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Imagine the chamberlain taking that message back to the queen. Ma'am, he said, and I just want you to know this is what he said. Don't shoot the messenger. He said, if you don't do something about this, that you're going to be destroyed and your whole father's house is going to be destroyed. I didn't say it. He said it. But this queen still understood authority, and she could take instruction from a man of God. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. She is submitted to godly authority. Amen. In spiritual things and in natural things. Symbolism and literal. She submitted to men that know the heart of the king. And then she understands the reason I am in this position is to do the work that the people of God need in this time, in this season. Amen. Church, do not become confused and believe that the promotion and the blessing that God has given you is because you were some great person and God just wanted to bestow. He was so lucky to have you that he wanted to bestow his goodness upon you so that you could be increased and you could be beautiful and royal and have all these grandiose things and you could sit there like a knot on a log, self-righteous and all-encompassing. No, God positions people for his purpose. Whether you're at the very top or the very bottom, you're there because God wanted you there and he has a purpose for you there. And we would all do ourselves well to understand, I need to find the purpose of God for the position that I am in right now. Mordecai said, honey, you need to know you may have been put in the kingdom for just this time. It ain't because you're so pretty. It ain't because you've got all the right answers and all the right work. You ain't made that money because you're so smart. You're there because the favor of God positioned you there, and he intends for you to fulfill his purpose. Amen. Now it came to pass on the third day after a 3-day fast. Everybody say a 3-day fast. After a 3-day fast, that Esther put on her royal apparel. Okay, so when she went from the house of the women to the king's house, she required only that which Haggai, the keeper of the women under whose custody she was, sent with her. He said, this is what the king likes. And she took that instruction from the house of the women to the king's house, and he did like it. But then once she got there, the king bestowed even more things that he liked on her. Oh, God. And so when it came time to make petition, she fasted. She was submitted to authority. She was fasting. He said, you need to go make supplication. That's type of prayer, okay? She's about to go pray. But she said, before I go to that inner court, I'm going to put on all the things that I know that King loves. Oh, God, help us all. Amen. There are things. You can't get away from it. She dressed the way the king wanted her to dress. And she wouldn't have known that except it had been in submission to authority that knew the king's heart initially. And then after she found entrance to the inner court the first time, the king began to reveal things to her that she kept for the rest of the time. Amen. Can I say it like this? There are some things you will hear preached that the king has told the man of God. Apply those to your life, then you go into the inner court. And whatever the king tells you in the inner court to do more, you do. If you want to keep going into that inner court. Oh God. Maybe this is too heavy for a Wednesday night, but I'll just go ahead and tell you. There's things that the pastor doesn't preach against that I still don't do because one day I found my way into the inner court and the Lord dealt with me about some things. Yes. Yes, I do everything the pastor preaches, but then the king has dealt with me about some things. And if I want to enter into the royal court, I've got to do the things that I know the king requires of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She put on the royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen. These are this right here, this sanctuary. Is the court of the Lord. Oh God. And so if you want an audience with the king, then you put on the royal apparel and you enter into the court of the king. Now I know I can't go any further until the king calls me into the inner court, but you better believe I'm going to be doing everything I can and I'm going to be standing in the court waiting on that call. Come on, I'm preaching to you about being in position to petition. It was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Everybody say half the kingdom. Amen. God help us. To the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I prepared for him. When she enters in, the king says, what do you need from me? I will give you up to half of the kingdom. The offer from the king to the bride as she entered into the inner court with the royal apparel was material. I'll give you half the kingdom. And I fear that there are too many people today that you come in with needs much deeper than the material. And when the king offers you a kingdom or half the kingdom, you snatch it and run straight out of the inner court. Oh, God, help us. Well, glory. Amen. You got my back, brother? Okay, all right. Amen. Esther answered, if it seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I prepared. I just want to spend time with you. Amen.
The king said, what do you need? She could have gone straight in on the petition. But I believe she had an understanding. I have a need so great that I need to spend some time with this king before I start asking with stuff. Come on. Before you start asking, don't mess it up, okay? When Jesus was asked, how do we pray? He said, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, it's all about him before it's anything about you. And so you got to understand, you may come in with great and dire and huge needs, but you better walk in talking about the king first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. Yeah, I need daily bread. The king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther had said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Still, the focus is on the material. Do you need stuff? Okay. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Maybe it would do us well to talk to the king more than once before we tell him all of our troubles and make our requests and petitions known. I know the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. You may find help in the time of need. All these, I understand. I understand that. But what if the king wants to see you more than just when you have a problem? Oh, God, help us. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, this is going to change your life if you'll get a hold of it. There is a positioning to be able to make petition. And I'm going to stop right here and say, every single person in this building, you have needs. You have needs that God can supply. You have petitions that you want God to hear. I understand that. But there is a positioning. There is a positioning before you can petition. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Material yet again. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. Now, understand that the literal sense of this is that she doesn't want to be killed by the king's soldiers, and she doesn't want her people to suffer destruction at the hand of the Babylonian army due to the command of Haman. That's the literal sense of the scripture. But she uses a word here. It's very interesting in the Hebrew. As a matter of fact, the word is used 753 times in the Old Testament. Over 400 of those times. Almost 500. 475, I believe it is. 475 times, the Hebrew word used here is translated as soul. Everybody say soul. Okay, another 100 and something times it's translated as life. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible by the 70 elders from Alexandria, Egypt, who would have had understanding of exactly what was being said in the Hebrew, they do not use the Greek word zoe for life, which is, you know, I'm come that they might have life and that more abundantly. They use the Greek word psyche for life. Now, the reason you need to understand this is because when Esther starts to make the petition, She's not just asking that the king keep a soldier from slitting her throat on the given day of the month of the command. She does not go material. She goes spiritual and eternal. Amen. The Greek word psyche literally is understood as not just the body that can be dissolved, but as the animation and the soul and spirit that lives beyond the dissolving of the body. It's literally the essence of God saying, don't be afraid of those that can destroy the body, but you fear him that after he's destroyed the body can cast the soul into hell. You have to understand that Esther goes so much deeper than natural. If material had been the focus of Queen Esther, she would have fallen at the first petition. When he said, you can have half the kingdom, she could have said, well, then give me the army because I need to control it. But she said, this is bigger. This is bigger than one generation. This is bigger than just the blood that flows through my veins. This is a spiritual attack trying to destroy the people of God. And you have to understand, I'm just going to preach a few more minutes. You have to understand that you're in positions right now that there are needs, necessities, and it's not just about you, and it's not just about your children, but it's about saving a genealogy of people of God. It's more than natural. The devil's not after your body. Amen. Amen. You need to get it out of your mind that your life expectancy is 70 years. The fact of the matter is you have an eternity to gain or lose in heaven or hell. And hallelujah. I come to preach to some mamas and some daddies. It's more than raising your children to be able to make money and to be able to make a deal. You need to teach them how to save their own life. Oh, glory. You have to understand that there are eternal implications that you need to be petitioning for. Hallelujah. 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 She said, let my life be given to me. Amen. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Amen. It's time for the people of God to quit just meandering day by day and well, whatever happens, happens. No, you need to take control of your eternal soul and say, I've got to make sure this thing is protected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the fact is that Esther wasn't just positioned there for herself. She had been positioned there for an entire generation of the people of God. I'm telling you, it's time for you to get a hold of the purpose that God has placed you for. You need to understand. You need to understand that this deal is bigger than me. Amen. I know it's getting late. I know it's getting late. But I'm going to preach this until we're done. Is that all right? If you got to go to work at 4 or 5 in the morning, amen. Take your liberty. Amen. I got to do what the Holy Ghost is leading me to do right now. Amen. Amen. Esther, it's time for you to understand. It's time for you to understand that there is more than your life expectancy on the line here. And there's more than just you. There are people all over the kingdom. She said, let my life be given me, but not just my life. She said, let my people be given to me for a request. Let the ones that I'm blood related to. Well, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus, we're blood related, baby. Don't just give me my own life, but I've got to get a hold of something that can save somebody else. Amen. But the most important thing to understand is she didn't start on this day getting ready to make that request. She started at least 13 months in advance. She was 12 months in the house of women. She was 30 days not entered into the King's Court. It had been a long time. It had been years. Years that Esther, day in and day, you hear me, day in and day out, when there was no grave threat, there was no existential threat, she was still positioning herself. There may be a day that I need to be able to enter in to the presence of the King. Oh God. Oh, God. Oh, God, help us. This is not the day. This is not the day for you to live with no care of eternal things. And then when something comes up that's destroying your children, you come crying to an altar, running into the inner court. Oh, King, hey, what's your name? Who are you? No. He said, who is that in the court? They said, that's Esther. He said, tell her to come here. I know who she is. Because she's been positioning herself to petition. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Amen. We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Okay. And as a matter of fact, the commandment even said, for them to take the spoil of the Jews. Does that ring any bells? For the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. She said, we're sold. They're going to take our stuff. Me and my people, they're going to destroy us. They're going to slay us. We're going to perish. This is eternal principle happening. She said, if we'd just been sold into service, I wouldn't have said anything. But this is too bad. The King said, who is he? Where is he? She said, it's Haman. They hang Haman. They give the entire house of Haman to Mordecai the Jew. They give it to Esther. Esther gives it to Mordecai. Esther chapter 8, verse 3. I want you to hear this. And Esther spake yet again before the king. Okay. I want you to understand this. We all talk about the banquet. The banquet was where the perpetuator of the plan was killed. But that's not where the plan was thwarted. The plan was not thwarted till she went back to the king again. Now, it makes sure to say in chapter 8, verse 1, on that day, that's on the day of the banquet. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was in her. That's when she said, hey, I'm a Jew, and that's my cousin who raised me. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again. Okay, this is another entrance. Okay, because, hear this, and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite. Haman is dead, but his plan still lives. So she goes to pray again. God help us. Now, before you think I'm crazy, The Bible says, then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. That's what he does from the throne in the inner court, not at the banquet that she was already at. She would have never had to touch that golden scepter again if this had still been happening at the banquet. Okay, I don't mean to wreck your theology, but this is the truth of God's word. She did not just go before the king once. She went again. Amen. Because sometimes, before the threat is truly stopped to your eternal existence, you have to pray more than one time. The king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king and if I have found favor in his sight, and things seem right before the king, and if I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come into my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? When you cannot stand watching what the devil is doing to your family, pray. The most interesting part is this prayer meeting. I'm saying prayer meeting. This meeting with the king. Symbolic prayer. Approaching the throne. Is where they write the new letter where the Jews can defend themselves. It comes to pass, they slay a bunch of people. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. This is in Esther chapter 9, verse 11. Verse 12 says, and the king said unto Esther. Everybody say, the king said unto Esther. Did you just get the switch? She would enter and talk to him. But then after a little while of her entering and talking to him, he started coming and talking to her. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. The king said unto Esther, the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee? Or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? Why don't we stand together? Amen. There are needs. I'm not isolating you. I stand here tonight with needs. I need God to answer some things. I need God to move some things and shift some things. Amen. I need it. There are some petitions I would like to make for the king. But there's a positioning before there's a petitioning. Amen. Just very briefly, a checklist of some things she did. She submitted to a man of God. She fasted. She prayed. And she dressed right. That's what I see in her initial positioning to make a petition before the king. She was in relationship with the king. But there were things that she had to do in order to be able to truly make a petition the way that she needed to. Amen. I felt as I prayed today, there are people in this house, you have very, very, very great needs, and you really, really, really need to make petition. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, the Lord spoke to me during praise and worship. So I was praying. The Lord spoke to me. There are people with petitions, but they're not positioned. You're not in the right place to ask the right question. Amen. There's some things that have to change in the positioning. Then you'll be able to make that request. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Don't quit doing the good that you have done. But we all know there are places we could improve. And if I could just tell you this, this is what I felt in the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray all over the house. There are people here tonight There are people that are depending on you to be positioned to make request to the king. Esther, her mom and dad were dead. It's very likely they died in the carrying away of the Babylonian captives when the army besieged Jerusalem. It's very likely that's what killed them. She had been through terrible trials in her life, raised without her parents, all of these things. But there was a time where somebody needed her. And she could have thrown off the blame to every other thing in the world. Said, well, you know, my life hasn't been a bed of roses, why, you know. But instead, I believe there was something in the mind of Esther. When Mordecai told her, he said, listen, they're going to kill every one of us. They're going to kill the men. They're not just going to kill the men, though. They're going to kill the women and the small children. And I wonder if the thought went through Esther's mind of her being a small child and hearing the screams of her parents as possibly they were slaughtered by Babylonian soldiers. Or even if they died supposedly peacefully, watching your parents die as a little girl, being bereaved, destitute, taken in by a cousin and raised. Something rose up in her. And she said, I've been positioned. Oh God, I feel this in the Holy Ghost so strong right now. Maybe God didn't allow you to miss that trial. But if you can make proper request, maybe you can keep somebody else from having to walk through that same trial. I wonder if the woman Esther thought about a little girl in Shushan whose parents would potentially be killed if she didn't make. She said, if I perish, I perish. She had to get to a point where it was not about her anymore. But I'm going to do this. Yeah, give me my life, my eternity. But God, give me somebody else. Give me somebody else. Come on, I wonder if you could pray right now. All over the house. Name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on, the Lord is dealing with people all over the house right now. Why don't you respond to the word of God? Say, God, if you position me, I'll fulfill your purpose, Lord. I'll fulfill your purpose, God. Oh. Yadabosa tayalabaha. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you've got request. You've got request for the Lord. Now, why don't you position yourself to properly make those requests?